move forward in our continuum. And let's go back to where we were last week, and time ran out. Take your document, and those that don't have a document, there are some, maybe the ushers have them in the back. Raise your hand, and we give you the excerpt. If you don't have the entire document, we want all of our guests, everyone, so that you can follow along. Here at the Grace Gospel Church, everything that we preach and teach is in writing. We don't preach or teach anything that we don't put in writing. That was the mandate that was given to this ministry when we began a decade ago. Everyone repeat after me, scripture comprehensions of measures.
Scriptural comprehensions of measures.
Say the matrix.
Matrix.
Say it again.
The matrix.
Now, we're not going to be shy about this. We sat on this for a while until we saw the movie. And when we didn't see the movie, we heard of the movie, and later we saw the movie, but people were flocking to the theaters. And it was about the Matrix. So at that point I said, why can't I preach it? Hey, why can't I preach this? Why can't I preach this? Why can't I preach this? Let's turn to our glossary of definitions. Down near the bottom, the matrix. Everybody got that? Say amen. Visual representation are indications in grids and are patterns, are measurements for testimony or documentation. So, what are you talking about here? Well, here it is important to understand the difference between actualization by God's decree in eternity from manifestation in time. And we spent some 4.5 years or so, and we deemed it necessary because you're not about to follow what the Apostle Paul is conveying. And you're going to be like Peter, who said, what did Peter say? So Paul is talking about things hard to understand. You have to understand spirituality, a be in the vein, a walk in the vein of spirituality, to understand what's in the grace covenant. Everybody say the grace covenant. What is the grace covenant? These are the provisions and benefits that are germane to the grace church, the body of Christ, in the grace dispensation. It is the mystery message that God revealed to the Apostle Paul as he dwelt in Arabia for 3 years. A message that was unknown to the previous generations, now revealed to the church. And these are our instructions, our directives. And I said, for those even are watching, you must be able to divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're going to be confused.
Amen.
There is a difference between the law and the new covenant. The law is the old covenant.
Yes.
It's the Mosaic covenant.
Absolutely.
It's different from the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
But then you must understand that there's a difference between the new covenant and the grace covenant. The mystery message. Everyone that read the Gospels, and I know this is a little controversy among theologians, but you must distinguish and separate what you read in the so-called Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and most of John, as not being the message for the grace church in the grace dispensation. If you do not,
amen,
then you're not going to put the value rating on the epistles that Paul wrote to the church, which are comprised prioritizing the message that he received from Christ. For the church in the present dispensation. I'm going to take my time and explain this a minute, and then we'll go into the subject matter. Because if you don't, you're not going to put the value rating on these epistles, which is the grace covenant. The grace covenant is the mystery message. The mystery message is the information and revelations that were hid until God gave them unto Paul.
Make it plain.
For the grace church.
Yes.
And you must prioritize and learn them first. This is the portion of the Bible. From Romans to Hebrews, that comprises our marching orders and our doctrine.
Yes.
Do not go into any part of the Bible for doctrine except in those 14 epistles. Now, read the whole Bible. The whole Bible is God's word, and the whole Bible is for us, but it is not written to you. And you're not going to be able to follow and distinguish this message of grace.
Right. Yes.
You're not going to be able to appreciate this message of grace if you mingle it and mix it with law and kingdom. And that's what Peter was talking about. He said, Paul is speaking about things that's hard to understand. It's the difference between pure spirituality and physicality. The Old Testament writings are all written from the horizontal view. The Gospels, even though there is a view up to heaven, the vantage point is from earth. But when you get to this message, the gospel of the grace of God.
Yes.
It is strictly from the vertical viewpoint.
Glory.
In other words, we're looking down on life instead of around in life.
Yes.
And we cannot say that enough. Now, with that said, let's go where we were last week. Ella Nickerson is our designated reader. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And in your document, let's go to page 5. I don't know how long we're going to be. You know, I'm not even concerned about that. You cannot go to page 2. And you don't understand what's on page 1. Now, we had set 18 months for this, but if it takes 3 years, this is information that we need. All right. Elder, start reading, call your text, and then start reading first from the King James. And again, and said, Pastor, you just keep explaining this over and over and again. Yes. Remember, this is being webcast all over the world. And I get letters from all over the world. Those who are asking questions about our methodology here. And the Bible is written in two languages. The Old Testament is in Hebrew. Well, we only go there for corroboration.
Right.
And the New Testament is the Greek. The English language is only about 500 or 600 years old. You pick up a King James or any translation in English, it was compiled by Greek scholars going into the Greek manuscripts. And this is where you get your translations from. But they differ. They differ. And so what we do here in our methodology of ministering is we go through the same copies of the manuscripts that they utilize. Now, hopefully everyone here, not everyone here, but those of you who have your Greek interlineals, and the reason we use that, utilize that, is because there's the Greek and there's the English word right under it, and at least he doesn't have the freedom to just go off on a tangent the way some of the translations do and completely ignore what it said, and they interpret it, is scripted according to what they think it say, instead of just being strict constructionists and following the script.
Amen.
All right. So some that have written, that's your answer. Now, Elder reads. Everyone that's got it, say amen.
Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you.
All right, now let's go to the Greek interlinear, and those that don't have it, you just follow along, and it's similar. And then we're not going to stop there. Now, we're going to get into some exegesis this morning. We're going to get into some deep stuff.
But
it is necessary. It's very necessary.
Oh, yes.
For us to get the utterance of what is conveyed here. I cannot begin to stand here and explain to you until we first get it straight what is said before
first.
We try to explain what is said.
Yes, first.
All right?
Verse 13, but we not immeasurably will boast, but according to the measure of the rule which divided to us God of in measure to reach as far as even you.
Now here, to get the crux of what is the conversation is, it's necessary for us to go into some context in relationship to what he is addressing. Here Paul is giving some instructions. He starts further up in the chapter. He said, for the weapons of our warfare, our fight, they're not physical, but they're mighty. And here he is showing the superiority of spirituality over physicality. He goes on to say, casting down every imagination and all things that's going to exalt or raise up against you. How do we do it? Because these things invariably, when they attack our minds, the target is the knowledge of God to completely put a veil over our confidence in the God of our salvation. In other words, to shake your security. To snatch your security blanket away from you. And of course, many of our security blankets are in the physicality mode. But the only thing that you can depend upon, if you can see it, you can't depend upon it. If you can touch it, you can't depend upon it. If you can physically handle it and connect with it, you can't depend upon it. No. It will dissipate right in your hand. And many things in life that we look at and we try to hold on to, it is futile because they are the things that are seen. It is the unseen. Even though we can resonate with the seen, and the seen seems like it's real, it is the unseen. That is real. Now here we're talking about the matrix. Again, let's go back to our definition. Visual representations are indications. And grids are patterns, are measurements. But then we have outlaid the purpose of those. They are strictly for testimony. What is real is what God has said, and it abides in his saying. What you see are some visual representations and indications for the sake of testimony. Everything that you look at, it is something that is reflected like in a mirror, which is only the manifestation. The problem is we mix manifestation up with actualization. And we call manifestation actualization. We say that thing is real and it's not. If it's not survivable, it's not real. If it's not enduring, it's not real. Passage that Lon Nicholson had just read. There are some words that I want to extrapolate and we're going to just focus on them for a minute. He starts out here with what we call a superordinate conjunction. What is a superordinate conjunction? Connects, but it does more than connects. It's that you know that what we're getting ready to say far outweighs that which we have said. In other words, pay attention. I'm getting ready to say something here now. something profound. And what he said here is that it is not in the unmeasurable things that we boast. Why can't we boast in the unmeasurable thing? Here we have the Greek adjectival pronoun, ametra, which is translated unmeasurable or unmeasured. Paul, what are you talking about? Well, to know what's unmeasured, you have to know what's measured. What's measured is land is it is positioned, I should say, in the matrix. It is positioned in measures. It is positioned in grids. It is positioned and meted out and measured out in order to convey a message to us. It is not the real deal. It is the reflection for the sake of leading us and guiding us as to the workings of God. But these workings are eternal.
Yes, yes.
Even though they are measured in time. Again, we have given the analogy. You're standing in the mirror, and what do you have? You have a reflection there. What you see in the mirror, is that the real deal?
No.
God's word is the real deal. And so when we're looking in time, we look around in what we call life, all you're doing is looking in the mirror.
Amen.
Whatever is to happen already has happened, but it's happened in God's word. So it's not about what we see. It's about what God has said. Now we go through this slowly again. When he speaks about the unmeasured, he's not talking about what you see in the mirror. The unmeasured or the unmeasurable is that which is in God's decree, that which he has said. And when did he say it?
In eternity.
One saying. Hebrews 11:3. Single. You have the Greek word there, rhemata. And it's singular. You see, we think of everything in sequence or in measures because that's the way God has laid it out. God is timeless. God is unmeasurable.
Yes. Yes.
Paul refers to in one place as the unsearchable, untrackable riches of God. So he's saying there, you can't boast in that. And then he uses another superordinate conjunction, this time the strong adversity, but. But what? But according to the measure. And then he lets us know something about that which is in the mirror and measured out. He uses the Greek noun here, kanonos, which is translated limited sphere, a limited area. So everything that is around us, it is limited. You wonder why everything is limited? Because it's just that which is measured. When you get to those things that are unlimited, you're out of the sphere of physicality.
Absolutely.
The characteristic of physicality is it's limited. So everything that we see, touch, and life is limited. And unfortunately, We assess God based upon what we see, and when you assess God based upon what you see, you have just limited him. To some people, God is no more than healing my body. I'm getting a new job. I hope your body is healed. We pray. Amen. But the greatness of God is not tied to the healing of your body. If your body never gets healed, he's great. God is great. And instead of getting a raise, you get fired from your job. God is still great.
He's great.
Because God is not tied to the limited areas of your life. God has laid these things out for purpose. And every last one of them are temporary. You're going to eventually lose that job anyway. You picked that job up while you were here in life. And Paul writes in one place, you brought nothing in, you're taking nothing out.
I hear you.
So you're going to lose that job anyway. And everything else that has to do with physicality. Now the Greek word for measures is the noun metron. Brother Deacon, do you have your Greek? Lexicon. What is that? That's a noun. Mm-hmm. What is and what? It's all right. It is an accusative case. What's the accusative case? Pastor, why are you going through all that? Because we want to get to what it's saying.
Come on. Yeah. Direct.
Thank you. It is the direct object. So the measure is the object. We mix the object up with the subject. The subject is the real deal. The object is what's being displayed in order, amen, to give some message concerning the subject. So, Pastor, when you mix it up, everything that you see touching life is about God communicating to you, and the communication goes beyond what we see.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you.
God is more than life. In fact, Paul writes on one occasion, he said, Christ is my life.
Is
life. No. My job, my family, no. Sometimes we get in a little trouble. Paul writes in one place, he says, in eternality, those that were married as though they were never married. In eternity, those who had possessions, I don't care if you were a billionaire, as though you never had it. Because these things were only objects. And when you horn in and you focus in, you don't understand unless you zoom out. Mm-hmm. You have to zoom out, you know, like on the computer. Yes. To get the bigger picture, you got to zoom out, right? Mm-hmm. When you horn in, you might be horned in on one word.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
then you start to hit the zoom out button. Then you see the whole page. That's the difference between you're being stuck in today, into this hour, into the situation, versus the big picture of what life is.
Yes.
Real life is eternal.
Eternal life.
And whatever you're going through right now is temporary.
Temporary. Yes.
According to the measure, the limitedness of it. Then we have a verb here. Amarisin. It's translated appointed, a sign. A sign. A sign. It's in the third person single. So we can't say me or my. It's got to be he or him or his, the third person.
Yes.
Here, who is that third person?
God.
That word is translated appointed. Appointed. Now here's where we get mixed up and messed up as we look at the matrix. That's something that's going down in your life. And you say, now, that happened because I did this. And if I do that, then I can change that. And we've been taught that in churches. But that thing is there. You know how it got there? Mm-hmm. Oh, it could have gotten there. Amen.
It was appointed.
Even death,
yes.
It is appointed.
Mm-hmm.
Sickness, mm-hmm. It is appointed. Famine, it was appointed.
Amen.
And see what they teach us is that.
Yes.
And they've taught in the past. God had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Or either God did that because you did that, and he's... retaliating, basically. They won't say it that way, but basically say, you know, you brought that upon yourself because you did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you did something stupid. That's not the reason it's there. I mean, God's not sitting somewhere going tit for tat with you.
No way.
If it was about that, we'd all be dead a long time ago.
I hear you.
Now I do something stupid and then God retaliates.
Oh.
We're going by now this appointed. He appointed. Why did he appoint? Now, when did he, first of all, when did he appoint it? You got your, what, that's the aorist. What is the aorist tips? Now we're going to take our time, you know, and if somebody don't like this methodology, I'm saying to them, bear with us and pray for us.
Yes.
A completed action.
Uh-huh.
Indicative move.
Uh-huh.
So you hear, you have a completed fact of something having been appointed. What was appointed? In eternity. That thing was in the matrix from eternity. Not because you were stupid that day. The reason you were stupid that day is because God didn't check your stupidity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. No, you know God has to check our stupidity.
Yes.
Else we'd be stupid 24/7. And the only reason we're not stupid 24/7 is that God checks it at times. But then other times he let it manifest to let us know... we're not who we think we are. And so that thing is sitting there and is there. And you say, well, you know, I did this and did that and the other. And they, you know, in churches, I'll tell you, I said all of that's watching. It's not about you. It's about his purpose. Otherwise, you're going to be confused. If they tell you, if I pay my tithe, the Lord is going to bless me and give me a raise. And then you pay your tithe, and the next day you get laid off. You're confused.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with that. One time they asked Jesus, they saw the man, they said, he was infirm. He said, now who sinned? Did he or his parents? He said, neither one. He didn't mean, they all sinned, but he would say, this is not about that. That thing was put there what? For God's purpose. How about the time you think you've got it right and you've done everything right and that thing falls flat on your face? It collapses. Then other times we're stupid and the thing comes out beautifully. What is God trying to tell us? It's not about you. Appointed. There it is. Aris indicative. He appointed. He put it there. First of all, Paul said, now, the immeasurable things, the purely spiritual things, You can't, we won't even go there because that what we have to deal with is what you think you got control of. Then he tells us that these things that are measured, they're according to the appointment of God. But he limited them. So the things that are happening in your life is not something that one day it was okay, but then you did something or somebody else did something. I remember as a little boy growing up, I was confused because some of the saints believed in roots. They believed that people could put some type of spell on them. I'm talking about the saints. I'm talking about God's people. You know, they checking down under the steps of the house to make sure somebody them sprinkle some dust and all of that stuff. Please. If you're sick, it's because God, amen, has ordered it for his purpose. Not even for your purpose, for his purpose. If you're broke, if you lost your job, if you get your automobile repossessed and your house foreclosed upon, amen, it is for purpose. Which rises above the veil of physicality. And so we don't ask, what is this? No, what is this for? It is more about what is this for than what it's purported to be. Now, as we've gone through this exercise, there are two types of viewing very quickly. One of them is what? Matrix viewing, and that's what we look down and look around in life and see. Yes. And then there's scripture viewing.
Yes, amen.
Matrix viewing is looking in the mirror.
Thank God.
Scripture viewing is looking at the real deal. Our focus and our eyes is on him, is on God. We think our lives is about us. No, our lives is about him. Yeah. Paul said, Christ is my life. Christ is your life. Christ is your life. He's the cause of your living. He's the cause of your dying. Whether you live, whether you die, if you live to him because of his purpose. And when we die according to his purpose.
Yes. Amen.
It's all about him. Give him a praise. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, my God. Hard lesson. Hard lesson. And so as he deals with this word measure, he spoke of it twice in that verse. The first time it was in the accusative case. Second time, it's in the genitive case. What's the genitive case?
Possession.
So it is an object. And that object does not belong to you. The genitive case shows what? Ownership. So what is measured is not your doings. What is measured out is belongs to him. It's God's doing. Some of us think that we have to defend God. Grumman goes on the campus of Virginia State some years ago. Or anybody that goes in, they shoot up the place. Or a tsunami comes and kills 250,000 people. Hurricane comes and it tears up the place. Most people are diffident, that is hesitant, to say this is an act of God. In fact, we have theologians that God had nothing to do with that. Well, where did it come? How did it get in the matrix? Where did it come from? Who can appoint? Who has appointed it? And that's the devil. That's, now we got the devil in the role of a creator. You got the devil now in the role of an enabler. Everybody said purpose. The last thing I want to point out in that verse. We have the Greek verb efikese. It is translated reach. And here Paul is saying, as we reach out to you and as we do what we do, we have been appointed and enabled. But that thing has an extent to it. So here you have the word reach, as far as extended. And so what we accomplish or what we don't accomplish in life is set for us. Brother Deacon, what is that? That is, what is an infinitive? Infinitive is a what? It's a verb or noun. What is a noun? Name, first place, a thing. And of course, if it's a verbal infinitive, it's describing something, but I mean not describing, but it's naming something. It's identifying something. And at the same time, it's showing action. And so what comes out of whatever we do or we don't do, it's set. What is that infinitive? What's the tense? Aorist tense. So how much you do, how much you don't, as we viewed in the matrix, it was preset.
Preset.
What you accomplish or what you don't accomplish. What you get or what you don't get.
Yes.
Was preset.
Yes. Yes. Glory to God.
When do you think God preset that thing? In eternity.
Jesus.
Where? In his word. Uh-huh. One saying. Uh-huh. God did not just create the world. And then he stands back and he said, well, it's up to you what you guys do now. We give him credit for being a creator, but we don't give him credit for being a designer and a planner.
That's it. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord.
A leaf doesn't fall in the forest unless God has ordered it. Because if it does, the question is by what authority? So, well, nobody knew it. It doesn't matter. In the cosmos, you have stars colliding and exploding, most of which no man sees, but it's not about us, it's all about him.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
And these are things we must understand. Now we've come full circuit here, and this is what I want to go through. Let's go to part one, and I think I touched on this a little bit in Bible study the other night. Let's go to the second paragraph. And this is all about looking in life and seeing what things are. Resting in him and not losing your mind in the process. Not being frustrated. Most of God's people are unhappy. Too many of God's people are unhappy. Here we are, heirs of God, sons of God, heirs of that which belongs to Christ, and we're unhappy. Oh my God. Because what's dominating our cultures is what's in time rather than what's in eternity. You're looking in the mirror at testimony for purpose, and you're taking that to be the ultimate thing. And it's messing with your mind. And you're somewhere saying, oh, I wish I had this and I wish I had that. And your whole life is just, you know. And here you have everything. You are complete in him. I'm talking about the you. The you that's a member of the body of Christ. The you that he placed in Christ before the foundation of the world. You're complete. And whatever happens or doesn't happen, it can't touch that. You know, you look in the mirror. If that tie is crooked, you can't reach in the mirror and change. Whatever is set, that's it. So our lives has got to be more than what's around us. Look at the Apostle Paul. He had money until he met Jesus. He had his health until he met Jesus. He was popular and loved by most people until he met Jesus. And from the time he met Jesus on the road, masters, it was all downhill. He was the brokest man, the poorest man, the sickest man. But by his own testimony, he said, what I gave up, nothing compared with what I gained. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ, and at the end, he said to him, I've run and finished my course. And there awaits for me a crown of righteousness. What are you talking about, Paul? God has opened up to me the understanding that before I was ever encapsulated in this flesh, put on the earth and put in the matrix, he did something great and glorious for me, and that hasn't changed. And whatever's happening in the matrix is temporary. But what the church is taught is to focus on right now. The now. To prioritize the now. Now, I'm not saying now is unimportant, but in terms of priority, who you are in Christ trumps anything that may or may not happen along your journey. Now, let's go to the second page 5 there and give me about 5-6 minutes and maybe 10. We're gonna bail out. We'll be back next week. That's the best part about this. I always get to come back next week. Amen. Let's go to the second paragraph. In the first paragraph up at the top there, that section asks the question, what is the scripture purpose and functionality of measures? What is this about? Remember last week as we begin to read through that the first thing we must recognize is that everything that we don't understand in life is not about what we think it is or what we see. We must understand that it has been actualized in God's decree, in God's saying. And so now we go with the scripture view. In that second paragraph, it says, in this sense, Are you with me? Spiritual epistemic, and I got right there what I'm talking about, knowledgeable unions are disclosed in manifestations of evaluations for the sole intentions of testimony to limited capacitated comprehensions of designated creatures. What are we talking about? It's saying to some of us, some. God has given us comprehension that the things in life are nothing within themselves. It's all a part of a process for testimony. And that's all it is. The ultimate end of what you see is not what you get. It'll pass. It'll pass. Whatever you're going through, it'll pass. Some things that some of you have gone through in the past, you thought you weren't going to get through that thing, didn't you? You thought that thing was going to kill you, didn't you? But you're here, aren't you here? And don't tell me, well, barely. Uh-uh, no, you're here. That thing is gone and you are here. And the next one that comes, according to God's will, don't get so caught up in that thing. You see more into it than what you should see. And this is why, as we were reading in the pastor's pen a few minutes ago, 2 Corinthians 4:18 is saying, we're not looking at what?
The things being seen.
The things that, that sounds crazy to some people. So don't look at the things that you've seen.
That's right. Amen.
That pastor's crazy. No, I didn't say that. The word of God says that. Of course, you're not going to hear that. From the pulpits. Because it doesn't make natural sense that I don't look at the things that are seen. It makes natural sense for me to look at the things that are seen. It makes spiritual sense for me to look at the things that are not seen. What is not seen? By the human eye, God's decree, that which is the actual essence of it. In other words, don't look in the mirror and let that be your assessment of things. Now, if that's not true, let's take the Bible and let's tear that page right out of it. It's saying, don't look at that thing as the face value of what it is. That's not how we're assessing God, based upon the things that are in the matrix. I'm sick, and if the Lord healed me, then he's great. But if he doesn't, I don't know about him. Be like the fellow, one of the fellows that he survived, and the planes ran into the towers. And he said, I used to think I could depend upon God to keep me safe. I don't know about that now. I'm saying to me, are you a fool? Why do you think you're still alive? And even for those that die, they're safe. Amen. What did we say at the funeral of the day? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Well, we said it at funerals, but that's just something nice to say. You know, we don't really believe that. Most of us live in the here and the now, and you know, from moment to moment, and that's our assessment of things. And when our physical conditions change, and when our economical conditions change, instead of seeing this as God having worked out something to teach us something, we look at that thing and that's all we can see. I can't pay my bills. I hope you can pay your bills. But that's not what life is about. And I'm not just talking, I've been there. And I am there. But that's not what life is about. Then it goes on. This framework of knowledgeable apportionment denotes detailed explications of sequence concepts. So he lays it out before us, and there is a lesson to be learned there. Regardless of how that thing comes out, there is a lesson in it. Most of us think that unless it comes out the way I want it, that's not a good lesson. Right. But you don't set the agenda. God has the agenda. What is conveyed is a description, and I'll come back next week and we'll start here. There's a description of the concepts and relations illustrated as a field of representatives. That's what the matrix is. This represents this, this represents that. And it's a line and a sequence and it's laid out. But it's all about purpose. The greatest of the dimensions in Ephesians 3:18 is breadth. You got length, width, and depth. But breadth is spiritual. Width, length, and depth is physical.
Yes.
The first one is platos. The Greek word platos means extent. What is the extent? What is the purpose? That's spiritual.
Yes. Amen. Thank God.
It's laid out here as a field of representative, but oh my God, always know, my God, there is divine and deified methodology to what we perceive as madness.
Oh, yeah.
This is consistent with a set of concept definition in general. But even more certainly, it displays a different sense of what such is in purpose, more than what it is in conceptualization. In other words, it is more comprehensible in ascertaining what it is for than what it is purported to reveal. I remember the time the pastor used to go off in those deep, long diatribes and conveying some things, and he was thought he would almost just lose me. But here's this concept. Stop looking at what you think it should be and how it should be. This isn't your, let me just put it down. This isn't your show, this is God's show. You don't have an agenda, this is God's agenda. And you, as well as everything else in the universe, you dance and you move to the cadence of his drumbeat. Oh, you all don't hear me this morning. Life is not about you. Your want, your goal. People sitting up in auditoriums listening to uninformed ministers, giving the impression that God is somewhere on the peripheral, waiting for you to do what he wants you to do so he can feed in what you need. You at the center. God's on the peripheral. He's just an accommodator for what you want. Your life is not about what you want. Your life is about what God has already willed. So things are more comprehensible in ascertaining what they are for than what they are purported to reveal. Last sentence. In this manner, it is the designing aspect, listen, it is the designing aspect of actualized being that is defined for the purpose of solely enabling knowledge sharing. That's what that is for. We learn. God's creation to humans. That's all it is. It's not necessary for God to go through these changes. It's necessary for us to go through these changes. It is unnecessary for God to define or explain actualized existence. What he has done is done. What he has said, that's it. This is why nobody's going to come in here. This is why we have a minister at every prayer session here, calling down fire from heaven. Because we're coming together and we're going to touch and agree and get God to do something. Stay in your gospel. Stay out of the kingdom writings of things that pertain to the millennial.
That's right.
Most of the time, Jesus plainly said, in that day, not this day, not this present evil age. This is the dispensation of grace. We're under the grace covenant. And the grace gospel, stay in your gospel.
Glory.
Now the context of comprehension is the specification utilized by God for revelations of his commitments. What is God committed to? His word? And what it is what it is. Your tomorrow is already set.
Yes, Lord.
Whether you're successful, whether you fall flat on your face. whether you get sick and get well or whether you get sick and die. Some poor pastors, listen. But the ultimate end is that I'm set. If Jesus wanted for according as he did what? As he chose me in him, when did he do it? Before creation, before the foundation of the world, being holy and acceptable and blameless before him. Oh, you can't beat that with a hickory stick.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank
you. So my life is about Christ. And I'm a winner, not a loser.
That's it.
And all things that work for me, not against me. And my better days are ahead of me. One day, as is demonstrated for all the funerals that we go to, one day I'm out of here. I'll talk about myself. Some people get nervous. One day, I'm going to take off mortality and put on immortality. One day, I'm going to take off carnality and put on eternity. One day, I'm going where Jesus is. I'm going to be caught up.
Yes.
Can you say caught up? To be over there. Oh, my time is gone. We'll be back next week. God bless you.